The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm, and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, how beautiful it is to be really within feet of the house of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Ephesus. And I think there's no doubt that Our Lady is watching over us. I mean, obviously all throughout our pilgrimage, but I would say in a special way in this moment. We're celebrating, if you didn't notice, the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which a tradition says took place here. I tend to prefer the tradition that Our Lady would have assumed here in Ephesus as opposed to Jerusalem. I mean, they both have their merits, but it seems to me to have been more likely that this would have been the place. And I don't know if any of you are like me in this regard. When I was growing in my faith in the beginning, when religion, my faith started to become important to me, and then later studying as a religious, before I started studying theology properly speaking, obviously it was important to me, things like the Feast of the Assumption and all the different feasts of Our Lady, but there was always something in the back of my mind saying, why is this a big deal? Let me put it into context. Obviously, if you love a person and you are, obviously, if there's a person that is important to you, you want to celebrate the great moments. You want to celebrate, triumphs. You want to celebrate that which is good and beautiful. And that is something very legitimate. There's nothing wrong. But I've never personally been moved greatly by a theology of the privileges of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And for centuries, and there's, again, great saints, much holier than I, have been great proponents of the special privileges of Our Lady, and in a certain sense, what made her different from the rest of us. That personally has never spoken much to me. Maybe it's a selfish streak, like, well, what's in it for me? But there is, it has everything to do with us, properly understood. There was once upon a time, I was reading some little anthology of texts, and it was some little book, just a compilation of texts between von Balthasar and a fellow by the name of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who were buddies, theological buddies. And I think it was von Balthasar who said something, and all of a sudden it clicked. And it comes down to this. There is a doctrine, I believe it was in the Council of Trent, if I'm not mistaken, that says, whatever we say of the Blessed Virgin Mary can be said of the Church and vice versa. So if the Church is Virgin and Mother, so is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Obviously in a different sense. And if we go through all the different mysteries of faith, whatever can be said, properly speaking, of the Church can be said of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and whatever we say of the Blessed Virgin Mary can be said of the Church. And this is the point of union. If we don't get that, we don't understand the role of the Blessed Virgin in our faith. I'm going to get around to the readings eventually, but for example, the mystery of the Assumption. Why is it a big deal in a certain sense? Well, good for you, Mary. You are sinless. You went to heaven. You are there. A lot of us, it doesn't seem to register to us. She and Jesus are body and soul in heaven. Some of us don't seem to get that, but there are two human flesh and blood bodies, you know, there next to the Trinity. Well, one of them is the Trinity, but in heaven. Most of us think, you know, just the souls floating in the clouds, but the Blessed Virgin Mary is there. Okay, why is that important to you and me, aside from the fact that, well, again, we love Our Lady and she was so great and we want good things for her? Because this is the destiny of each one of us. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the icon of the Church. She is the most perfect part of the Church, if you want. She is the most perfect prefiguration of the Church. She is the new Eve. So when Christ brought about the redemption, he wanted to recreate humanity. Adam and Eve fell in the beginning of humanity, and in order to restore things to the original plan and even one up the original plan, God wanted to create a new Adam and a new Eve. It sounds a little bit strange, the idea of, well, father and mother and son doesn't exactly line up with spouses. And again, the analogies are always limited to a certain extent. But what he was doing legitimately was creating a new Adam and a new Eve. And in them, he would recreate humanity. And that is why she is, we call her amongst other things, co-redemptrix. She is part of that mystery. Obviously, everything flows through Christ in the fullest, most absolute sense, because in the end of the day, he's the only person who is God and man at the same time. But he chose to make her an integral part of that whole mystery. And whatever we say, whatever our Lord did with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and whatever she lived in her life, is an icon and an image of what we are made for, and ultimately what God wants to bring about in us. He wants to bring about our resurrected bodies. There will be a time when we also are assumed into heaven. And she is the promise. If you want to know everything that God has planned for us, and everything that God wants for us and from us, you can look to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the promise, she is the icon, she is the model of everything that God wants to bring about. In the book of Revelation, I'm going to switch now to go to the readings a little bit. It says something interesting. It begins, first of all, again, context is everything, right? So this reading, it says, God's temple in heaven was opened and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. So there's this kind of cosmic vision that John is having. It's towards the middle of the book of Revelation. And the very next thing, imagine this. It says, God's temple in heaven was opened. Okay. What is the temple? In Christian circles, God no longer dwells in a temple made of stones in Jerusalem. He dwells in his Church. His Church is, and this is the symbolism of the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem, the city coming down from heaven, and the temple, the dwelling place of God. Okay, and the Ark of the Covenant can be seen in the temple. And after, in the Ark of the Covenant, what was that? That was, in a certain sense, in the Old Testament sense, it was where God chose to, quote-unquote, dwell, not as fully as he does in our tabernacles today, but it was the symbols that held the images of the symbols of God's presence, like Aaron's staff, for example, and some of the manna and whatnot. It held these sacred things that were kind of contained, in a certain sense, the presence of God. So it talks about the Ark of the Temple. In the very next line, it says, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun. Who is the Ark of the Covenant in this new Church? It is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is a living tabernacle. She is the one who carried, just the same way that the Ark carried these relics of the Old Testament, the Blessed Virgin Mary is this Ark that carries the presence of God amongst us. And this Ark of the Covenant is simultaneously, it is the Church. So this book of Revelation reading, especially in John's theology, whenever he talks about the woman, he's primarily talking about the Church, but he's also, there's an indirect allusion always to Our Lady. And he talks about the fact that this church and this woman are giving birth to a child who is going to have dominion. This is an image of everything that God wants to do in us and through us. We are part of this story. And we live in a world where we know there is a seven-headed dragon out there. There is a society out there that breathes furiously against Christ and his kingdom, and who wants to devour the faith in the souls of all of us. Imagine if we feel temptation. Imagine so many people out there that are simply lost. People that we know and love. Again, friends, family members, associates, even ourselves. In reality, when we wrestle with the temptations and sometimes the habits of sin that we wrestle with, the vices that we just can't seem to uproot, even in our own hearts. So we know this battle. We know this battle. This is our story. And so it should not be something unnatural to us, the idea that we wail in pain, in labor pains, so to speak, to bring about the birth of the Messiah in society and in culture. This is part of the deal for us. Our life as Christians is going to be difficult. If we want to be true disciples of Christ, if we want to be parts of the church, it's always going to involve labor pains. It's going to involve crucifixion. It's going to involve trials and persecutions. And the more serious we are about holiness, the more we're going to experience that. Shouldn't be something that scares us, because we've also experienced the more serious we are about holiness and the more we come face to face with our absolute limitedness, if such a word exists, I'm not sure, limitation, and our absolute incapacity by our own merits and strengths to resist the evil in the world, the more that we realize also that we have a God who comes to our aid, and he wants to be the one who brings peace, who brings strength, who brings salvation. So here in this house, I know you're all getting sleepy on me again, but fortunately today we're recording. So when you wake up, you can listen to the recording someday. And perhaps our Lord will enlighten somebody with something, I don't know. Here as we're in this place, this is a place that symbolizes everything that we've just talked about. It symbolizes the triumph that God wants to bring about in us, the means that we're going to have to go through, the labor pains, so to speak. It symbolizes, this is one of the foundational touch points of the church, one of the earliest churches to be founded, beginning with the Apostle Paul. And it's also, kind of in a certain sense, it's the Alpha and the Omega. Because we talk about the Apostle Paul kind of being the Alpha of the church, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary showing us what we are destined for as a church, the Omega. This place, I think, summarizes in a very real way the entire Christian mystery. So let's not leave here without, not only as tourists, but let's not leave here without really spending some moments of prayer. I don't know when and how, because we have to follow our tour guide, who, by the way, is quite good. This is my favorite. Out of all the people that we've had so far, this guy is theologically the most well-formed and deepest. So he has a lot of good things to say. Before we leave, I don't know how and where, I want to give a little reflection. And I would also like to just say some prayers to Our Lady, and we can bring all of our needs, all of our family members and whatnot, to Our Lady in this holy place. Father and Son, Holy Spirit.